Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihare. Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhradajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhradajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupal Paramahamsa Parivrayak Acharya Sutara Sattva Sri Simad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. is confounded Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrayaka Acharya Satarasata Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Premsakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gauru Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Sri Sri Gaura Nitai Chandra ki, Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundar ki, Sri Sri Krishna Balaramaji ki, Gaura Pramanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Prabhu, can I get a Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita somewhere there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narotamam Devim sarasatin vyasam Tato dayam utirayet Nashta prayashu abhadrishu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So this is reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, title Dhyana Yoga, text 17. Yuktahara virharasya Yukta Chetasya Karmasu Yukta Svanavho Bhavsyaya Yogo bhavati dukkha yuktahara viharasya yukta chetasya karmasu yukta svapno bhavodasya yogo bhavati dukkha yuktahara viharasya Yukta chetasya karmasu Yukta svapno bhava bhodasya Yogo bhavati dukkha. Translation of Purport by Srila Prabhupada. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practice of the yoga system. Please repeat. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. For extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, which are the demands of the body, can block advancement in the practice of yoga. As far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practiced to take and accept prasadam, sanctified food. Lord Krishna is offered, according to the Bhagavad Gita, vegetables, flowers, fruits, grains, milks, etc. In this way, a person in Krishna consciousness becomes automatically trained not to accept food not meant for human consumption, or not in the category of goodness. As far as sleeping is concerned, a Krishna conscious person is always alert in the discharge of his duties in Krishna consciousness, and therefore any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. Abhyartha kalatum, a Krishna conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute in his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, his sleeping is kept to a minimum. His ideal in this respect is Srila Rupa Goswami, who was always engaged in the service of Krishna, and who could not sleep more than 2 hours a day, and sometimes not even that. Thakur Haridas would not even accept prasad, not even sleep for a moment without finishing his daily routine of chanting with his beads, 300,000 names. As far as work is concerned, a Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not connected with Krishna's interests, and thus his work is always regulated and is untainted by sense gratification. Since there is no question of sense gratification, there is no material leisure for a person in Krishna consciousness. And because he is regulated in all his work, speech, sleep, wakefulness, and all other bodily activities, there is no material misery for him. Om agyanati mirandasya agyananjana shalakaya shakshur militanjena tasmai sri gurave namah. Sri Chaitanya manovishtam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kalamahyam dadati svapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaura Bhaktaranya. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse, this particular chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyana Yoga, Krishna outlines the process by which we can practice Krishna consciousness. Notice that Krishna has already stated in previous chapters and even further in other chapters that he is situated within our hearts. So that means that Krishna is the greatest therapist. You know, usually we go to, when we get some troubles, we go to talk to somebody, right, like a therapist. Because a therapist doesn't talk, he usually lets you do all the talking. So after you talk 99% of the time, he speaks 1 minute and then you feel great. But Krishna has been hearing us since time immemorial. Since we are in this material world, Prabhupada calls it time immemorial because you cannot trace the date that you came into this material world. So ever since then, Krishna has been listening. And so, in this verse, Krishna is telling us an eternal truth. Actually, all verses. Anything that Krishna speaks is eternally true and eternally valid. And so, because Krishna speaks for all living beings at all, for all times, these truths are always relevant. I mean, he spoke this. This statement was made over 5,000 years ago. And it was so relevant back then as it is relevant today. So, Krishna seated in the hearts of everyone, sarvasya hridi sannivishta. He says that. Mata smritir jnana pohanam cha. Krishna knows it so well that he's saying, you know, it is all right. You have material needs. This body that we have requires certain material needs. And Krishna outlines that seating, sleeping, recreation, and work. Prabhupada adds a little bit more. He says, eating, sleeping, maintaining, and defending. And then at the very end of the purport, Prabhupada even add speech, wakefulness, and all other activities. So the Lord sitting in our hearts, understanding our pursuit of Krishna consciousness, we want to be successful in Krishna consciousness. Anybody who comes to the Krishna consciousness movement has an interest of becoming successful in this pursuit. It's not that we come to Krishna consciousness, you know, just for the fun and then we leave. No, we want to stick around. We want to know where it ends. And so Krishna says, so in order to do that, in order to be able to tolerate all these material urges, the material body has material urges, and in order to be able to put up with it, basically, Krishna says, you got to regulate yourself. In fact, Krishna doesn't even say here, you know, how Krishna doesn't go into the quantities or how regulated you should be. But the principle that Krishna is establishing us is that we have to be self-regulated. And Prabhupada many times explains that a yogi that is not self-controlled is really not a yogi. Krishna used to, Prabhupada used to blast bogus yogis when he was preaching in the West. Because it's not really by increasing material needs that one attains yoga. It's actually rather by self-regulation. And so Krishna is saying here, Prabhupada begins the purport by saying extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, blah, blah, blah. That's extravagance is the key word here. I mean, we all have to eat, you know, we all have to sleep, find a place to, you know, have shelter. We all have to work, we all have to speak, all these different things we all have to do. But we have to dovetail them in Krishna consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada explained here that Prabhupada gives two examples of persons, previous acharyas, who were the epitome of self-realized yogis. One of them is Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami, he, like Prabhupada said, he wouldn't sleep more than 2 hours a day. He could do that. The idea is not that you gotta arrange your plans not to sleep 2 hours a day. But the idea is that Srila Rupa Goswami was so self-regulated that he was able to sleep 2 hours a day without any troubles. Now, some of us may require 4, some of us 5, 6, 7, whatever. But the idea is that we don't engage more than required, and only you can tell that. Only you can tell. Same thing goes with the eating. In Krishna consciousness, this is the religion of eating. It's prasadam religion, you know. Many of us came to ISKCON because of prasadam. I'm one of those. So yet, when you're young, you can consume lots of prasadam. But at your age, you begin to realize that the body is not accommodating that anymore. And so you regulate yourself. So similarly, with all the bodily needs, the devotees should be very conscientious of what is it that we're doing with our lives. The other example that Prabhupada gives is Srila Haridas Thakur, who was chanting all the time. He didn't have a job. He wasn't married, so he didn't have to talk to his wife or, you know, put up with the kids. So he arranged his life. Well, I'm not married, you know, I don't have a job, so I'm just going to sit down and chant. So he was able to do that. But so many devotees are married with wives who are devotees, kids, raising kids. They hold jobs or, you know, they hold businesses, and so they got to attend to them. But they adjust their lives so that the aim of this whole activities, the aim of all the of all their social activities, political activities, family activities, is all dovetailed to realize Krishna in the end. And that's what Krishna is talking about. That's exactly what Krishna is saying, that in order for us to be successful in practicing yoga, bhakti yoga, we have to be regulated. Now, of course, those of us who started practicing Krishna consciousness when we were very young, we submitted ourselves to a very monastic way of life. Nowadays, ISKCON is not much in that direction anymore. You know, brahmacharis are an extinct species. Before, it was the other way around. Grihasthas were the distinct species. So, back then, ISKCON was promoting this monastic way of life in which you were actually told, you know, how many hours to sleep, how much food to eat, and it was all right. But as we grow, not only in Krishna consciousness, but also as we grow in our regular human existence, we begin to realize the responsibility of being self-regulated lies on ourselves. And this is why somebody who's practicing Krishna consciousness cannot be successful unless and until he or she becomes what Krishna calls an introspective sage. Not only you have to become a sage, which is a great deal, but you have to become an introspective sage. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he uses that expression, in the context that Krishna says that the introspective sages, they sleep when everybody is awake, and they are awake when everybody is asleep. Krishna makes that comparison and contrast there. And the idea is that we don't go with the flow. That's the idea. Because the material world is arranged in such a way, people are so engaged in such a way as to forget God. They're forgetting God in their activities. When they eat, sleep, mate, and defend, like Prabhupada is saying here, or whether they are recreated themselves or working, they are completely disconnected from God. That's why it's not yoga. But yet Krishna is saying here, even you may be recreating yourself, even you may be working towards whatever goals you have in this world, even though you're doing all these things, what's ruling your life, it's really me, Krishna is saying. And therefore, success in yoga is how you calibrate your life, your thoughts, your speech, your consciousness, your work in attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna is giving us leeway. It is a fact that we are not all the same. We have certain similarities as living beings. We are Krishna's eternal servants. We are in the third category of Krishna's energy. We're Tatastha Shakti, technically known like that, marginal potency. We have so many similarities, but we also have certain distinctions that makes us unique. And so it's not that there are two of you, not even another parallel universe like people are talking about these days. So you are so unique because Krishna is unique. And so only you can tell, really, how far can you go in performing these austerities of being self-regulated. And that requires a lot of introspection. We cannot do this mechanically. We're not machines. So we cannot say, okay, everybody's going to sleep for 2 hours now, just like Srila Rupa Goswami did. Or now everybody's got to chant 300,000 names, still do your work, still do your job, still do your service. It's not such a thing. So Krishna is telling us here that we are to be so conscientious of what we are doing that we should understand and we should daily even see how far we are going in the progress towards Krishna consciousness. Krishna understands that this is not the process of Krishna consciousness is not something that you can attain overnight in the blink of an eye. Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna says, Nahi gyanena sadrisham pavitram mihavidyate. That there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Tatsvayam yoga samsidha. And when you have become crowned with success, that's really literally what it means. When you have successfully achieved that level of Krishna consciousness in which you do not fall down anymore. Kalinatmanivindati. Kalina Atmani means within yourself, in due course of time, you will enjoy this transcendental knowledge and the sublimity of Krishna consciousness. So it's not something that can be chewed on your behalf. You have to chew it yourself. And so what the Lord is saying, really, in the end, Bhagavad Gita, the whole Bhagavad Gita is a whole preaching so that the members of the Krishna Conscious Movement or anybody who wants to realize Krishna can do so with the security that you go at your own pace, but you got to move on. You got to keep moving forward. That's what Krishna is saying. So becoming a sage, an introspective sage, that's what it requires to be a devotee of Krishna. So with this in mind, you know, we should start saying, okay, if becoming a devotee of Krishna is to become an introspective sage, so what is it that I'm doing today? Or what is it that I'm doing tomorrow, and the next month, and the next year, so that I will attain that stage? What is it that I'm doing? What are my New Year's resolutions for that purpose? Prabhupada concludes, and actually Krishna concludes those words, by saying that once you achieve this self-regulating mode of life in your own life, you become free from the miseries of material existence. That's a symptom that you can tell, oh yes, I'm getting there. If material existence no longer bothers you, then you can tell that you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. And there are so many botherations in life. I mean, we all probably at least know one. I know many. So many botherations in life that are always there for all living beings. Krishna himself explains it in the Bhagavad Gita. There are so many dualities, life and death, youth and old age, victory and defeat, so many things. She loves me not. He loves me not. All dualities. So it's all miseries are there. But when you are so engaged and so engrossed in Krishna consciousness and so delightfully engaged internally in your own advancement in Krishna consciousness, these things become so irrelevant. In the material world, these things become actual distractions. And that's why the yoga practice begins by avoiding distractions. This is actually, this teaching that Krishna has given us here is quite elementary, because it's kind of pinpointing where to go in terms of being a successful yogi. Success in yoga means, first of all, you don't bother anymore for material existence. You understand the internal workings of the modes of nature in such a way that you know that all the onslaughts of material life, all the setbacks of material life, they're all performed externally. It's got nothing to do with you. But when one is not in this mood of Krishna consciousness, one must necessarily be in material consciousness. And when one is in material consciousness, all these setbacks mean a lot. In fact, people are nothing doing but moving from one set of problems to another set of problems. That's what material life is all about. In the purport, Prabhupada explains in the verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Vahunam jangmanamam de gyanavam nam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlavaha. In that purport, Prabhupada explains that material existence can be summarized into two things. One is, we're lamenting for what we lost, and what's the other one? And we're hankering for what we don't have. Look at the world, and that's exactly what they're doing. People are arranging plans, arranging whole economies, everything. Just like now in America, we are so busy trying to arrange the country in such a way that the future generation of Americans, they have to pay a lot of money for the consumption that we are doing today. It's called the fiscal cliff, for those who follow the news. So it's a whole arrangement that requires so much energy, only simply to avoid these two things: hankering for what we don't have, lamenting for what we lost. And that is all, again, the material pains and material existence. And how can we avoid it? By being self-regulated. Simple as that. Being self-regulated, you're free and aloof from the influence of material miseries. That's when you can tell that we are advancing in Krishna consciousness. When we become so peaceful, that's the first symptom of a self-realized soul. A devotee of Krishna, there is no question that a devotee of Krishna is miserable. If we are miserable, something is wrong. We are doing something wrong. We're supposed to be happy people. We are supposed to be blissful, blissed out all the time. In fact, this is one of the things that attracted me to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, because the people who were preaching to me, they were all blissed out people. I saw them so happy. They were young people back then, and I see they weren't using any drugs, and they were so clean and pure in their habits. Exactly the opposite epitome of what the other youngsters were doing. And yet these people were all so happy. And that's what attracts the Krishna. When you become such a happy person, that's the best preaching you can ever do. Because other people guess it's a contagious thing. I mean, look at Prabhupada, for example. Prabhupada was, culturally speaking, Prabhupada was a foreign person when he came to this country. He was foreigner. He has a very thick accent. He was advanced in age. And he was, it was like honey attracting all these young people. Because they realized, this man, he's out of this world. He's got something I don't have, and I somehow or other want it. And that is Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada was an introspective sage. Prabhupada had all these qualities that the Bhagavad Gita is talking about. And the thing is that once you realize these activities, once you had become crowned with success in Krishna consciousness, the next thing to do is actually to give what you got to others. It's not that you keep it to yourself. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Whether it be your spouse, whether it be your neighbors, your friends, your folks, or whatever, or whether you engage in a formalized preaching mission like in ISKCON we do have, book distribution, you begin to realize that the more you give Krishna to others, the more Krishna gave himself to you. And this is also the mystery of the yoga, of bhakti yoga. That's what Krishna is doing in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is giving himself in the Bhagavad Gita to us. Krishna is saying, this is the way I'm attainable. The whole aim of the yoga process is to attain me, and this is the way I'm attainable. And in the end, when he finishes Bhagavad Gita, Krishna still says, well, you may not like it anyway, but this is what I have to say. Now you're free to choose. He tells Arjuna like that. He tells Arjuna, now that I have disclosed to you everything, I have opened up my heart, Krishna is saying. Now you don't have to take it. But of course, just the act of listening to Krishna is very purifying. And Arjuna begins to ecstatically glorifies Krishna, and Arjuna technically surrendered to Krishna. He said, I'll do it. Okay, I didn't want to fight, but now I'll fight for you. See, Arjuna didn't want to fight for himself. But when Krishna explains to him the whole process of yoga, bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, Vedic knowledge, then Arjuna said, oh, well, I don't want to fight for me, but I'll fight for you. This is exactly what we want to do. So it's like exactly what he's saying here. All these regulated activities, okay, we're going to do them on behalf of Krishna. And that's the key word. That's the key aspect of being a successful yogi. Any questions or comments? Prabhu?
According to the tone of being, but also the other side.
Right. Yes.
The goal, the function of the spiritual master is to help the disciple do things that the disciple didn't believe they can do.
Right. That's a good point. There is a difference, though, between helping someone and being dogmatic about it. Krishna is not being dogmatic here in this verse. Now, in the eyes of course, in the regular eyes of a non-yogi, a person who is not a yogi, this is a sacrilege. You know, how can somebody wants to control my eating, my sleeping, you know, my mating, my defense? How can you do that? In fact, the whole material existence is based on what is Prabhupada called this extravagance of eating, sleeping, maintaining, and defending. Prabhupada was so strong in his preaching. The whole first canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada blasts this whole thing right now, this extravagance of materialistic civilization. So when the spiritual master comes in your life, and the spiritual master simply, what it may look to us like a push, or to the disciple, like the disciple is being, you think, oh, my spiritual master is pushing me. In reality, it's just, it's like when you're a coach, you know, you think you know all your capabilities in performing some athletic feat, but actually the coach already observed you, your skill set, your strength, your witness, and can give you a push. The same thing is with Krishna. You think Krishna doesn't know us? He has been sitting in our hearts for millions of years. Krishna knows us from A to Z. Krishna knows us better than we know ourselves. We think we know ourselves, but actually, imagine a person who has hung around you 24/7 for millions of years. Would he know you better? So that little push that the spiritual master sometimes gives us, like you're saying, it's simply to actually get us to the next stage. Yeah, it is very hard. It is very hard to be self-regulated in eating, for example, in this day and age, in this country. In other countries, it's hardly people can eat, but in this country, there's such an abundance of food. And people are selling you left and right, from junk food all the way to gourmet stuff. And so, in this country, it is difficult to be self-regulated, but that's what is required. So when the spiritual master is asking us to do something that we think we cannot do it, it's just the spiritual master simply is knowing what we are capable of. The idea is that we take the instruction and we try to achieve it. You have to measure yourself too, of course. I mean, there's no question. When Prabhupada gave an instruction to his disciples to do something that's seemingly impossible, the devotees somehow or other managed to do something that triggered that impossibility to become a possibility. And so, of course, there are some people who complain about that. But anyway, the idea is that there is a principle of self-regulated life. And not only in Vedic culture, but also in other cultures, people understood that principle. It is a practical psychology. Any other questions or comments? Ladies? Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.